Well, thank you, worship team. You guys do a great job in helping us to sing songs, and indeed, God is making beautiful things. Well, you be the judge. The incident really embarrassed her. Was I right in saying what I said and in doing what I did? When I was 17 years old, my mother, father, and younger sister traveled to India, to our ancestral home in a village in northern India in the state of Punjab. And most days there were the same. We would get up in the morning, have breakfast, maybe wander around for a bit, and then we would eat lunch in our open courtyard home. And we would usually do this after our household housemaid Ronnie, 16-year-old girl, would leave. People in Ronnie's caste would hire themselves out as maids to higher caste families. But on this particular day, things were really different. Just as Ronnie was heading out the door, my family sat down to eat. And that's when it happened. Ronnie, I said, come on, have a seat and join us for lunch today. An awkward silence fell in that open courtyard. That was a crazy thing to say. Invite her to eat with our family? It's against family tradition to eat with people like her. Hinduism's caste system has cast a divisive dark shadow on Indian society for over 2,000 years. People are slotted into high and low status based on their birth family. You don't eat or marry outside your caste. I knew that subliminally. I had been taught that. She was not one of us. You only eat with your family, your people. Apparently, there are some cherished beliefs you shouldn't mess with, like traditional family values and religious beliefs, or else. I had committed a cultural faux pas by asking Ronnie to join us. My mother said, no, she can't eat with us. Why not? Well, what will the neighbors think if they peer over the porch from their over from their verandas and see her eating with us? Mother, I said, do you care what the neighbors think, or do you care what God thinks? Even you as a Sikh should know that we're not to discriminate. You as a Sikh ought to know better to honor people than God. Put your beliefs ahead of your culture. Poor Ronnie. She stood there frozen as Mom and I argued out whether she could eat with our family. How uncomfortable for her to witness this clash of values about whether she belonged or not. I said to my mother, you know, if she's not good enough to eat with this family, then neither am I. I moved away from my mom and found another place on that cement floor in the courtyard to sit down. I motioned to Ronnie. Ronnie, come here. She was still frozen. She didn't know what to do. And at that time, I didn't realize I'd put her in a very precarious position. What if she did that and then my mother fired her? She needed that money for her family. And I looked over at my mother and I could see this angry look on my mother's face, saying, how could you embarrass me? How could you humiliate me, challenge me? And then my mother said, if she's going to eat with you, she can get her own dishes from the kitchen. You see, her own dishes. Another reminder that she was not allowed to use any dish for fear of contaminating us. No, Mom, I said. She eats in the dishes that everyone eats in. My mother wasn't really pleased with me that day. As Ronnie and I sat down and ate together, we did something really shocking. I noticed that the perplexed face, look on Ronnie's face was gone. Her eyes were smiling back at me as we shared that roti and sabji, vegetable dish together. The two of us, kept apart by the teachings of the caste system, now were doing the unthinkable, sharing a meal together. Had we, in sharing a meal together, become family in some unconventional manner? I share this story with you this morning, not to slight my mother, because she's actually moved away from these ideals. But I do it because as I was reading our text this morning, I was reminded of this story. So if you have your Bible with you, please turn in your Bible or on your electronic device or look up on the screen on this text that we're going to read this morning that causes all kinds of tension for Jesus and his mother and brothers. You'll find it in the Gospel of Mark. Mark 3, and we're going to begin at verse 20, 21, then we'll jump over to verse 31, 35. Follow along on the screen if you like. One time, Jesus entered a house, and the crowds began to gather again. And soon, he and his disciples couldn't even find time to eat. They were so busy ministering. When his family heard what was happening, they tried to take Jesus away. He's out of his mind, they said. Then Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him. They stood outside and sent word for him to come out and talk with them. There was a crowd sitting around Jesus, and someone said, "Your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you." Your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you, Jesus. And Jesus replied something that could have embarrassed the family. "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Then he looked at those around him and said, "Look, these are my mothers and brothers. Anyone who does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." Just imagine the scene. A first century Jewish home. They often had several biological families living together. So what it would be is would be a house on ground level, sometimes an upstairs area, but all of it, the upstairs area was all open. And so it would be like this huge area with a central courtyard. I got to see this when I went to Israel one year. And so everyone would meet in the central area. It's where they played. It's where they ate. Sometimes it's where they worked. And now Jesus was in one of these homes. It was crowded. He was teaching. And Jesus' mother and brothers were outside. They wanted to talk to him. So someone sent a message, and it went from one ear in the crowd to another ear, to another ear, to another ear. And finally, someone close to Jesus said, "Jesus, your mother and brothers are here. They want you to come out and talk with them." To this point, honestly, Jesus' ministry had been an embarrassment to his family. He was saying things that didn't make sense to them or anybody else. He was saying crazy things like he was the promised Messiah mentioned in the book of Isaiah. When he was one time in his hometown of Nazareth and he was given a scripture to read, he began to read it, and it was from the book of Isaiah, and then it was talking about the Messiah, and he said, "You know, today in your hearing, this prophecy has been fulfilled." What do you think the people said? They said, "We know you. You're just a builder. We know your family. You're from this town." And they chased him out of town. Everyone looked down on his whole family. Nazareth is not that big. You'd think Jesus would stop, that he would stop making these crazy claims. All of this reflected negatively on his whole family. Why couldn't Jesus just be a good member of the family? In Jewish culture, family is everything. You stay together. The bond is tight. You're nothing without your family. You often live next door or close to your family. Unlike today where, you know, you can be in one city. My mother lives in Ladner. I live in Surrey. You can be living in a different province than your family, even in a different country. It wasn't like that back then. Sometimes you were in the family business. You were all fishers, so everybody fished. Your family was often your employer. There was no EI. There was no CPP. There was no welfare. There was no rest homes. If you weren't a good member of the family, you were done. Your identity was your family. Everyone looked at you and wanted to know what tribe you were from. Society judged you based on your family tribe and your genealogical heritage. So think about how the crowd felt when Jesus changed the definition of family by asking, and with them standing outside, by the way, and they probably heard it too, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And then he looked at those around him and said, look, these are my mothers and brothers. Anyone who does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. Wow, up to this point, biological family was the only family everyone knew. There was no other definition. And in that culture, if you weren't with your family, you weren't anything. You didn't have an identity. So was Jesus saying something really new? And was he really attempting to embarrass his own family by this? No. He was actually reiterating a spiritual view of family that Jewish folks had missed in their reading of the Old Testament scriptures. See, 1,500 years before Jesus redefined family to the crowd, the idea that someone who followed God was committed to God in a family relationship was taught. Joining God meant joining family. Followers were not like a family. They were family. Let me state that again. The church is not like a family. The church is a family. Let me share a few of those scriptures with you. Exodus 5:1, second book of the Bible. Moses and Aaron went to speak to Pharaoh, and they told him, this is what the Lord God of Israel says. Let my people go. Not let my followers go. Let my people go. That phrase, my people, the sense of my people, my family, is sprinkled throughout the Old Testament. And in Deuteronomy 32, we read this. After the people were disobeying God, Moses challenged them about their identity. And this is what he said to them. Are you really his children? Isn't God your father who created you? See, the idea of God as father, we in God's family, was there. Are you really not his children? In Isaiah chapter 1, we read this. This is what the Lord says. The children I raised and care for, Israel, my people, they don't recognize my care for them. See, this idea of family is very old. And then recall the story of the 12-year-old Jesus who'd wandered from his family and was found by his exhausted parents in a synagogue teaching elders. And what was his response to them? Don't you know? I have to be about my father's business. Idea of family with God. Jesus was not saying biological family isn't important. After all, he taught the commands to honor your mother and your father. And he never abandoned his family. He cared for his mother while he was hanging on a cross, asking John to look after her. And the early disciples of Jesus also said, you know, if you don't care for your family, then where's your belief? But the early disciples also were part of that crowd who were sitting there when Jesus referred to God's view of family. That followers of God are brothers and sisters and mothers to each other. It's no wonder when they were led by the Spirit to write about the church, they used terms to refer to the church, not as a building, not as a group of people who got nowhere to go on a Sunday morning at 10 a.m. They referred to those who gathered as the body of Christ, or the household of God, or the household of faith, the family of God. They referred to one another as brothers and sisters. They spoke about being adopted into God's family. They spoke about God as Father and Jesus not only as Lord and Savior, but as brother, as one who understands. They did not believe in involvement in God's family was optional. It was required. It was who you were. And here's what the Apostle Paul taught, led by the Spirit, on the nature of us gathering. In 1 Corinthians 12, he says this: the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. And then he said, so, just like that, with the human body, it is with the body of Christ. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. There are many parts, but there is only one body. God has put the body together so that all the members care for each other. If one suffers, all parts of the body suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. And then he went on to say, all of you together are Christ's body. Each of you is a part of it. The idea is that if you're a believer, you are God's child and a part of God's family, his body. Jesus' mother and brothers eventually came to understand this concept, that to follow God is to be initiated into a family. Remember what Jesus said when he was baptizing? Remember what he told the disciples? This is what he told them. He said, go and baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is a call to community with God. That is a joining in to the family of God. When we are joined into God, we are joined into his family. And this is what we read in Acts 1:14 about the change of view of Jesus' mothers and brothers. And in there you'll read this, talking about the early church. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. They got it. They got it. And you know what? My mom has gotten it as well. So let me ask, what about us? What are the implications of Jesus stating that we are all his brothers and sisters, mothers, fathers, and brothers? See, friends, just as Jesus' family got it, and they shifted from their view of family as something biological, I think we too must take seriously the call of Jesus to be family. And so many of you here, by the way, do that. I met with several people just before the service who gathered to be a family, who prayed together. I met with several discipleship group leaders yesterday who shepherd families around here called discipleship groups. And so many of you care for each other outside of this building, and you are family as you are involved in hospitality team and various other ways. And that is a wonderful testimony to the love in this church. We are family. But not all of us share that view of family. Some of us feel, put my 75 minutes for God, stay on that list so I go to heaven, kind of thing, you know? And so our commitment to family is, you got 75 minutes from me, you know? But what happens in 75 minutes? We only get to see the back of each other's heads. We really don't get to know other people, and quite frankly, we can't know a lot of people. And, you know, on Sunday mornings, if someone says to you, hey, how are you doing? I mean, really? Are you going to tell them how you're really doing? Yeah, I'm fine. That's the standard answer. And that's acceptable and understandable because we really don't have that kind of time to talk. Right? So 75 minutes? Some of us argue, well, we don't know anyone here. How can we be family? But some of us have been saying that for years. Maybe today is the day we begin to take God's call seriously to be family. Yet some of us are uncomfortable with the concept of family. We prefer that bumper sticker that says, the more people I meet, the more I like my dog. Now, does that really excuse us from being a mother or father or brother or sister in the body of Christ? Others of us believe, you know, that being in a family, in the family of God, in a spiritual family, is for those who need it. We feel, you know, we're doing really well. We're doing just fine. We don't need this. The church family are those in need. We don't want to take away time from pastors or other people's time, so we don't really need it. And if we do need it, you know, we'll give you a call. That actually sounds, you know, like you're being unselfish. But actually, I think you're being selfish in light of Scripture's call to be united as a body of Christ. We're all called to be there for one another. You have gifts and abilities that you can give to the body of Christ. Still some of us go, yeah, I hear what you're saying about the 75 minutes and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? I have no time. I have a biological family already, and we're so busy with all kinds of activities. But don't you see the issue with that view? Busyness is another way for us to isolate ourselves from God's family. If we do not begin to teach and model to our children when they are young the priority of committing to know and love our spiritual family, don't expect them to join it when they get older. Because all we've told them is, our beliefs are, church can wait. Church family can wait. So be aware of separating your biological family from the influences of your spiritual family. Our culture will busy us out. It will never encourage us to give time to our spiritual family. See, when we realize the need for our biological, our spiritual family, what happens is other people can come alongside of us. And they can be mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters to our children as well. Now, did Jesus dishonor his mother in this passage? Did he say blood relatives weren't important? No. In fact, he enriched the concept of family, because if we also have the family of God, it can be a blessing to have our biological family. So, a biological family can encourage us and parent us. Biological families only last a lifetime, but a spiritual family lasts forever. It's not an either or, but both and. When I was raising my kids, I had all kinds of pressure to put them in all kinds of sports. My brother said, because my younger son was quite talented athletically, said, why don't you put your son in hockey? And I said, no, I'm not going to. He goes, why? You can't afford it? I said, it is expensive, but my values are that I don't put him in hockey. Because I, as a parent, don't want to be running around. And, you know, being pulled and tethered by that. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll take him to hockey. I'll pay and I'll take him to hockey and I'll take him to all the practices. And I'm sure he would have. But you know what? That wasn't our value as a family. Hockey wasn't the greatest thing. It wasn't going to become an idol for us. Now, when my son was a teenager, he joined a hockey league, and they played on Saturday evenings. There's a lot of Christians in that league, and you know, practice on a weekday, and that worked out. But our value was that we were going to be with the family. And I know that's challenging these days. I totally get it. We have to be careful of our culture busying out our children with so much activity that they never connect with their spiritual family. We must parent our children and not let our culture dictate our priorities. There is such a thing as making an idol of our biological family. Worship God, not the family. So imagine the power of Jesus' redefinition for some of the first Jews who became believers and were forced out of their homes. They knew they had a spiritual family, people who would care for them, people who were their brothers and sisters. Imagine today what the redefinition of family means for a Muslim or a Sikh who knows that if they choose to follow Christ, their family will likely disown them. When I chose to follow Christ, My mother said, you are no longer my son. My father said, get out of the house. Where was I going to go? I recall that I had been talking with a certain man at the church I was going to, Mr. Cahill. And I had told Mr. Cahill, you know, my family doesn't want me to come to church, and they're very angry that I come here, and I don't know what's going to happen. Now, you have to understand that Mr. Cahill was nothing like me, okay? He was white, old, very conservative. He had short, slick hair. He wore a three-piece suit to church. And I'm sure that on many things, we just saw the world very differently. He was even in charge of the church choir. But you know what he said to me? If you ever have struggles at home, call me. I will come for you. Mr. Cahill was ready to be a father to me. So let me ask you, to who are you being a mother or father or brother or sister to in the Grace Point family? Who are you being that to? How are you being that here at Grace Point? Now I get it. God's family is not perfect. It will never be. It's full of brothers and sisters with rough edges, people just like me. But we don't join God's family because we don't like people, or because we fear we won't feel welcome, or we might get hurt, or we have been hurt in the past. We join and get involved because it's God's family. And God calls us and says everyone needs to be in the family. Every one of us has gifts to give to somebody else. God has placed you in a family to be a blessing. We cannot be a blessing if we're not there. It's where we belong, God's family. There's many benefits to being a part of God's family. So how do we become mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers to one another at Grace Point? At Grace Point, one of the ways we do this is we have discipleship groups. Discipleship groups are a major vehicle through which people gather together on a given day or evening. And they're brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers to one another. And people in discipleship groups, they help us, they help each other to walk through life. They walk through, in this last year, I can think of discipleship groups who've helped people walk through divorce, grief, finding work, teaching one another the Word of God, encouraging each other when they're down and can't find employment, helping each other in so many other ways, looking after each other's children, hanging out afterwards. They challenge each other to grow and to be emotionally and spiritually healthy. I remember about 2 years ago, I got a phone call from someone here in this church. They said, Steve, I'm just curious. Do you like Fleetwood Mac? Now, they didn't know me that well. I love Fleetwood Mac. Stevie Nicks was in love with me. And they said, well, there's this concert coming up. I mean, I couldn't have afforded the tickets, right? There's this concert coming up, and I wonder if you would like to go. It was a no-brainer. My greatest thing was to convince my wife to go. She's not into that kind of music. And so I said to her, and she's very good. She said, okay, I know you really want to go. It's a big thing for you. And we went out and had dinner together before the concert. Then we hung out, and then we just talked about, you know, 70s music and all of that. And that guy was an elder in our church at the time. In fact, he was the chairman of our elders at the time. He took an interest. Currently, I meet every Tuesday night with a group of people. We're an intergenerational group of people. There are young people there. There are people there with their children. There are older people there. There are peoples whose first language is Punjabi, Mandarin, some other languages. And we begin every evening at 6:15 with a potluck supper. It's really simple. We have soup. We divvy it up. People bring different soups. Somebody brings a salad. Somebody brings some bread. Somebody brings some dessert. And we just hang out from like 6:15 to 7 o'clock, just eating dinner together. People talk, they have a really good time, and then we go downstairs and we look at Scripture together. And there people encourage one another, celebrate one another, they talk about their lives, they share what's well, what isn't, and they walk with each other, they pray for one another. People even look after other people's children so they can go out on a date night. That's amazing. We just hang out. And sometimes we even hang out outside a group. Becoming a family takes time and intention. You cannot know your family without spending time with them. I would not know them, and they would not know me without us coming together. There are various types of discipleship groups. There's some for young adults, some for young families with kids, some groups that are mixed men and women, some groups just for women, some groups for men, and so forth. If you take Jesus' call seriously to be his family and want to know how to do his will, I'm going to encourage you right now to go to your program. I'm going to be very practical about this. If you go to your program, you'll find a sign-up form for a discipleship group, and you'll see a shot of it up there. If you're already part of a discipleship group, you can already fill that out and say, yes, I am, and here's my name, and thank you for asking. But for some of you, this is your opportunity. You've been waiting for something like this, possibly. So I would love to encourage you, because when we are a family, we meet with other people, we gain from them, and we give them the gifts that God has given us. In fact, sometimes in discipleship group, we find out what our real gifts are. So you're part of the family of God. Where are you in it? Are you meeting with your sisters and brothers and mothers and father? Are you being a sister and mother and father to Jesus, to the body of Christ? The offering bag is going to come by in just a moment. And so I'm going to invite the hospitality team to come up to do this morning's offering. And you can stick it right in the offering bag if you like. Or you can, if you need a bit more time, you can leave it at the Welcome Center in the back. You feel free to ask me any questions afterwards or drop me an email. And then someone will contact you about a group that you can be part of. It's time to be part of the family of God. Let's pray as the hospitality team comes forward. Lord, we just thank you this morning that you've created a family that can help shape us, a family that can encourage us, a family where we can share our gifts and build up the family of Christ, the body of Christ. We thank you for this family. We thank you that you are our Father, and you call us to be with all the children, and it excites you when we meet together and do body life with one another, encouraging one another and practicing all the one another's, loving one another, forgiving one another, building up one another, and so forth. So we just thank you for that. And Lord, help us to be very weary of the things that our culture teaches about isolating ourselves in our pains or busying out ourselves with television and all those sort of things. We have a family. Help us to be part of that family. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to just worship you through the giving of our offering this morning. And we ask that you would take it and bless it so that other people would become part of your family. In Jesus' name, amen.